I met a wonderful woman that I married. And she got a job at a Christian school in Rochester. And because of that association, this school was under the authority of a local New Testament church. Therefore, since Cindy was a hired employee, I've told you the story before, that we had to join the church. And that was interesting for me. I've probably shared this story before. Either way, during that time of transition, being newly married and me starting a job at Strong Memorial Hospital, Cindy starting a job at North Star Christian Academy, I met the soccer coach at North Star Christian Academy and wondered if I might be able to help, volunteer, whatever. And Mark agreed, and he's probably shared with me in the past how I was just as much of a mission field as the other teams that we were playing. And the Bible says in Proverbs 27, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. I've instructed my son Jason to know his dad's friends. And my goal as his dad is to introduce my son to my best friends so that if and when I'm not here, they can mentor my son. So when Jason became 25 years old, I made some strategic phone calls and said, my son's going to be 25. You're mentoring him. Would you do me a favor? And would you do something special for his 25th birthday in this kind of a way? Well, Mark has been that kind of a man to a number of athletes, students. His legacy is going to be amazing. He's been involved with athletic ministries and camping ministries ever since I've known him. We met in 1983, so you do the math. That's a long time. That's almost as long as I've known my wife, and we're still friends. And Mark is up in the Western New York area, and whenever he's in the area, I either try to have fellowship with him, have coffee with him, or have him come and speak in our church. Mark's involved with Uncharted Waters. In our bulletin, I gave you some information about our guest speaker tonight. I'm not going to take any of the information away from Mark and what he has to say. You're born and raised in New York. He can share that with you. You can tell by his accent. Mark was one of our key men when we would take our teens to New York City and train them on international missions. Mark was our resident New York guide. He knew where to eat.
John, pull over the bus right over there. Just where we're going to go. We're going to go to that deli right there. Or we're going to go there to that
sweets. Or Patty, my daughter Janet does your husband better than anybody I've ever heard. My daughter can do Mark Palma almost better than he can. Because Mark taught Taekwondo at Robert Swenson College, and Janet was one of his students. So she picked up his mannerisms, his accent. If ever you roast your husband and you want somebody to imitate your husband, Janet's the person. Absolutely amazing. Well, Mark, why don't you come? Let's give Mark a round of applause and welcome him to First Bible Baptist Church in Lancaster.
Thank you, Brother Rich. Can I, am I heard here, Dan? Can you hear me? Everybody? Good. Well, it goes without saying, this is an incredible blessing and joy to be with you tonight and to be in this part of the country. I travel a lot, my wife and I do, and sometimes we stay at places and we wake up in the morning and we're not sure where we are. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. What state are we in? You know, it's, I mean, we can go from one state to another in a matter of a couple of days because of the ministry that we're involved in. I've cleaned up my act quite a bit since those days, Richard. But you let me get going, and you'll detect that perhaps that accent. But you're born and raised on the Lower East Side of Manhattan in one of the toughest neighborhoods in the country. And I made it. I made it because I think maybe even before I even knew Christ, he knew me. And God took care of me in those days. There were a lot of good people around Richard, Pastor Rich, that came to my rescue. One of them, and I need to mention his name. His name is Ralph Hittman. Ralph was a Marine, Second World War vet, police officer in New York City, and the executive director of the Boys Club that I belonged to. I stayed in part of that club and summer camp all of my life up until a couple of years ago when Ralph passed away at 97 years old. He has served the Lower East Side and thousands of boys just like me. And hadn't been for that club and that camp and all of those things, I probably wouldn't be here today. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. In May of 1978, my friend Ray Kanin led me to Christ. Ray was a black belt in Taekwondo. And he and I trained together under master instructor Bukwang Park, Korean master in Rochester. And Ray ran one of our schools in a neighboring town, the town of Spencerport, not too far from here, an hour's ride. And Ray had a student come to his class. You may know him. His name is George Grace. How many of you know George Grace? Well, George came to Ray's school to learn Taekwondo. But really, he came at the insistence of our music director here by the power of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the song service today. That's what George was looking for. He was learning, wanted to learn Taekwondo, but he wanted to tell Ray about the most important thing in life, and that is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Ray would teach him Taekwondo, and George would teach him about Jesus. George was a Marine in Vietnam, and Ray was a lieutenant in the United States Army, served in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot. And the two of them had a lot in common. And one day, over a meal, I think it was, Ray jumped up and said, "I got it. I understand what you've been trying to tell me. I want to receive Christ this day." And Ray got saved. And oh boy, what that did. Ray was a modern day Paul. He scared other Christians, you know. Man, he come after you. He didn't wait for your invitation. So what's your name? I'm sorry. I'm going to refer to you, John, a couple of times here. Dan and John. John, he didn't wait for your invitation. Ray, he told anything, everybody, and the rocks themselves, you know. And here's one of the people he told about Jesus. And in a matter of a couple hours over a can of progressive soup in an apartment there on Park Avenue in Rochester, New York, I didn't bow my head. I didn't know anything about anything. I said, "Lord God, if you can do for me what you've done for Ray," because his life was so changed and so different, and I needed that change in my life. I said, "If you can do that for me, what you've done for Ray, I want it." That was my salvation prayer. Go figure. Because later on, I went through all the steps to make sure I really got it, you know. But God met me that moment, that time. He knew what I was saying, what I was asking. I was asking him to be my Savior, come into my life and change my life. And from that day forward, or shortly thereafter, I committed myself to serving God. And by the grace of God, we've been able to do that ever since. A lot through sports ministry. So that when I met Richard, and because of his love for soccer at the time, and the fact that I was coaching a team that he came to watch, and we invited him in, and he helped us. And Richard came to Christ shortly after we. But what's happened because of our willingness to share Jesus Christ with others? And so that's what we have ventured to do. We're part of a ministry now called Uncharted Waters. It started about 25 years ago. The fellow that started it 25 years ago was not sure what this is going to be, so he called it Uncharted Waters. I said, "You've been doing this for 25 years. When are we going to become charted? You know, and she said, Mark, it was just a name. You know, it's turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Philippians. We'll spend our time mostly there. And if you want, you take some notes. I gave you an outline, and I'm going to ask you to, you know, to fill in the blanks. And maybe I'll tell you what they are. Maybe you'll know what they are by reading the particular scripture. The book of Philippians is talking about coaching. I believe the Lord wrote that to coaches. To me, it's been my coach's manual. It's a great book to minister and disciple young people. It's a great book of joy, and there's so many great things in here. We're going to talk about those tonight. And some people think that's the only book I ever read. No, I'm very familiar with the book of Habakkuk as well. But no, as a matter of fact, I'm doing a study right now in the book of Acts. God help me, you know, Richard and Pastor Rich, and we're sharing that with the class that we teach in Beaufort, South Carolina. We go to a church in Beaufort, Community Bible Church, and a good church, and I've been allowed to speak and teach there, and we're embarking on a study of the book of Acts. But the book of Philippians is definitely a favorite of mine because there's so many good things in here. Brother Dan, if you would, I'm going to ask you to pray for me and for the message and for us. Would you do that as we go to the Lord? We go to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you, Lord, that we can gather here tonight. Thank you that we can gather here in freedom and security, which is so little enjoyed elsewhere. We pray, Lord, for the message now. We pray for Mark, that you'll speak through him the words that you want him to speak, that our hearts will be ready to hear what we need to hear. I pray that you'll bless this service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. This is going to be a message. This is going to be a message of principles and things that many of you are probably familiar with. And so I'm praying and asking God to just shed a little more light on these things for you and convict us of maybe some of the needs that we might have and God might expose in our lives for us. Some years ago, we had a boxer. I don't have to mention his name. I'll just tell you what he said. Matter of fact, he was a very good boxer and a heavyweight champ of the world. And he used to yell out and shout out, I am the greatest. There you go. You got it. I am the greatest. You know already about probably who I'm speaking of. And he was, as boxers go, he was one of the greatest, a great boxer. And I thought about that, the greatest. When we look at God's word, we really see who is the greatest. And that gave me the idea to do this. Not too long ago, Pastor Rich, matter of fact, earlier this fall, end of summer, the church in Kansas City and Blue Springs, they were starting their, 15th year of Happy Five Soccer. And I must have gave a message there at that time and put it on a sports board, you know, the soccer, you know, and I wrote out this six or seven points, and Renzulli sends me that. He just wanted me to know, Mark, you need to know that we've started our 15th year of Happy Five Soccer. This was a ministry that God gave us in First Bible back in Rochester, and Richard and Cindy were our first directors of Happy Five Soccer. And that thing took off, and God used it, and that was so good. It was a blessing to hear. So I looked at that, and I said, wow, that's great. Maybe we can revive it. And so that's what you've got today, a revival here. And I hope there'll be a revival in your heart, not just because of this message, but because you need one. I need one. We need a daily revival in our hearts. It's very easy for us to just get used to the same old every day. And when we look at the newspaper, we hear the news, it could be very, very depressing, can it not? Lots going on in our world today. That is downright scary in some ways. such a division that's going on in the world today, in America today. And we need to know what we need to know. We need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And the only way things are going to change around here and in America is for God's people to get out and tell others, Bob, John, about Jesus Christ. So, the greatest, think of Psalm 48. It says there, great is the Lord. Turn to Psalm 48 real quick, and we'll continue singing. How many of you know the song? You know that Psalms is what? What does Psalms stand for? What does it mean? They're songs. Songs of praise and songs of deliverance. Songs of all the good things of God. Anybody ever see that? Cindy, you know that song? Psalm 48? Great is the Lord. Who's the greatest? Class, who's the greatest? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the greatest. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. I guess if I didn't start so high, some of you would have joined me. Patty said, don't leave your day job, you know. Great. Who's the greatest? Great is the Lord. Now look at Philippians and chapter 1. Paul is writing, and as he does in all of the letters in the New Testament, there's always a salutation. I don't know. I'm going to ask you, don't answer. But how many of you like to write? How many of you like to write notes? How many of you like to answer emails and text messages? Now it's emails is one thing. Text messages is short and sweet. And tweets, we don't have time for a salutation, let alone anything else, right? And so we leave that out. And yet every letter that you see, Paul writes a salutation because he wants you to know where he's at and he wants to know where you're at. He wants to tell you that may grace and mercy be upon you. May the Lord Jesus love you. Look at this. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Christ, all the saints. Look at verse 2. Grace be unto you. When was the last time you offered grace to someone? When was the last time you offered grace? And peace. The world needs it, doesn't it? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the day. Listen, Pastor Shear, no one writes more letters and notes. You know what it means to me when I get a note from your pastor? Yeah, I know. I'm afraid to ask. How many of you have ever received a note from Pastor Shear? Come on. Good. Yeah, amen. Cindy, I'm glad you raised your hand. I was ready to get off the stage and just go home, you know. Now he's going to write to all of you. That's it. When you think about it, when God puts somebody in your heart or in your mind, why does he do that? I know these days at this age, some of you are going to understand this. I wake up at night, you know, I'm in what's considered the middle of the night. It becomes the start of my new day, you know. And I just sometimes don't even try to go back to bed. But there are times when he wakes you up for a reason. There's somebody who wants you to go to the Lord in prayer. There's somebody that needs a note from you. There's somebody that God wants you to think about and pray about and do something with. Pick up the phone. Imagine the phone. Oh, you mean that thing I carry in my pocket? Yeah, or in your hand. And it's attached to your hand or it's attached to your belt or in your back, you know. Use it to maybe call somebody sometime instead of all the other things that we do with it. The perfect, grandest salutation, the very beginning. Okay, here we are. The first one we're going to look at is the greatest, and look at the verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. This is Paul speaking. What is he talking about? Somebody take a guess here. The greatest? Anybody? Come on, this is not a, you know, rocket's greatest knowledge is good. What it was Paul wanted more than anything else in his life? What's the greatest thing that you have between a husband and wife? What is that which? Fellowship, good. These are all good. I might use that next time, you know. The greatest passion. This was Paul's greatest passion, that I may know him. Think about the passion of the Christ. It was a director's way of visualizing the crucifixion, visualizing what Christ did on the cross, what he went through from the time he was condemned to the time he hung on that cross. What a picture that was. Some of it you couldn't even take, but it gave you a visual of what, there's nothing better than God's word for a visual. But that was the passion there. But that was his passion. Acts 1:3, after his passion. Whose passion? After Christ's passion. That was his passion, to go to the cross for you and for me, to give his life a ransom for us, pay that dear price. And he paid quite a price, took quite a beating on our behalf. Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 24, we're instructed to learn of Christ. You've heard of him. You're taught by him about putting off things and putting on the new man. This was a passion that Paul had. What are you? What am I passionate about? Now think about it for a moment and we'll move on. If you want to answer that question in front of your brothers and sisters in Christ, go ahead, go right at it. What are you passionate about? What moves you? What gets you up in the morning? What, you know, rings your bell? And all the other things that they ask. Just ask the simple question, what are you passionate about? What's most important in your life? Have you thought about that? Because what happens is a lot of other things come into our mind and into our heart and into our day that take up what really is important in our lives. And we let that be first when it really is a deterrence from what's really important in your life. How do you start your day? What is your passion? All right, let's move on. Number two. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but, you fill in the blank, that I may win Christ. Philippians 3:8. So what is that one? We didn't do too well on the first one. We thought we did great on the first one. What am I saying? It just wasn't me. Dan? The greatest prize. Good. We're getting close. It starts with a V. The greatest victory. There's the greatest victory. What was Paul's greatest victory? That I have the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. This was most important for him. Oh, victory in Jesus. The first Christian song I ever learned. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I remember working. I was just saved just a month or two. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I learned about God and the Bible from Charlton Heston, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know. I never went to a Bible-believing church. I went to a Catholic church in the middle of the week with my grandmother to light candles and pray. We didn't even go to a service. My mom was Jewish and she married a Gentile. And so you can imagine what home was like at our house. Yeah. And what a combination that was. But it was rich in culture. I mean, I got a lot out of that Italian and Jewish. Man, that was a pretty cool combination. At least it was at school. My Italian coaches and my Jewish coaches used to argue about who made the error last night at shortstop. Was it his Jewish side or was it his Italian side? Yeah. And when the holidays came, I was absent for the Jewish holidays and I was absent for the Catholic holiday. I'm only kidding. Truth of the matter is I love school so much, I was there all the time. No. Great victory. Greatest victory. What is it? That I may win Christ. What is a win for us? What is a win for you? What is a win for me? A win for me is to get through a day without embarrassing myself for the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be a good victory for me. Not saying something dumb or stupid or embarrassing someone or myself. Or being kind and loving to my wife completely. Or witnessing to somebody about Jesus. Or even sharing Christ in their salvation experience. Or helping them through a trial or a struggle. That would be a win for me. That would be a win for Jesus. That would be a win for Christ. What would be a win for this church? What would be a win for you? Anybody? What would be a win? I mean, I play sport. I've been involved in sports all of my life. That sports was like my salvation growing up on the Lower East Side. It kept me somewhat in out of trouble, not completely, but a lot. I went from one sport to another, and it was good for me to do that. My dad never saw anything I ever did and played sports. The very last game, my high school year, senior year, playing football at Lincoln High School in Brooklyn, New York. He was driving a cab on the weekends. He was a tailor during the week, and he drove a cab on weekends. And I said, Dad, it's my last game. Here's two comps, You can come, maybe you come and watch the game. In Lincoln High School, they had 5,000 people, 100 people in the band, and it was all big time. And I played. It was a safety, free safety. It was a good game for me, although the quarterback ran over me at the end of the game and, made some tackles, fumble recovery, of interception. I didn't know if he was there or not. But he parked his car outside the field on Cropsey Avenue, and he came and watched the game. No idea what was going on. My dad never played sports. Couldn't. He was the five brothers and sisters. His father had left them. Second father was a bad guy. His brother, my Uncle Jack, threw him out of the house. My dad had to kind of rear his brothers and sisters. They love him and they've honored him. Every family, every uncle has a son who's named him after my father. But boy, I was a tough guy. He came and watched the game. That night or the night after, whenever we got together, and it wasn't often, he says, well, Dad, you'll walk. I came. I watched the game. I didn't know what was going on, but it looked like you were doing okay. Gee, thanks, Dad. What a blessing. What a thrill that was. Great victory. We talk about winning. We know about winning. We know about winning. The world doesn't know. The world chases some imaginary goal or object. But we know about winning. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith, Paul said. That's victory. That was victory, That's what we want. We want to finish this life that way, don't we? We want to be, victorious in Christ. What is a win? What is a win for you? Okay. Again, here's one. This should be easy. I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The greatest? All right, good, yes. The greatest prize. I press toward the mark. In basketball, you hear the team press. When the coach says we're pressing, what does that mean? The team is going to push. They're not going to let the other team get past the, you know, half court. We're going to press them. We're going to make it hard for them. We're going to press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press. Press. No matter who you are, male, female, old, young, I look around the room and I've seen you before. I know some of you a little bit. And I know that it's your heart's desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Press a little bit. Don't give up. I mean, as a coach, it's what we talk about. Never give up. Keep on fighting. You'll never know what could happen. Don't let go. This is our field. This is ours. Defend that turf. The Bible talks a lot about the defense of the gospel. What a parallel. Defend the goal. Defend and get that prize of the high calling of God in Christ. What's waiting for us? There's a thing called the crowns for a Christian. Hey, some of you can use a crown. That head over there needs to be covered. That's all right. You're welcome. Don't mention it. Richard said you're the kind of guy I could do that to. But he didn't tell me you were going to be that big. So next time, pick out somebody smaller than me. Would you, Richard? Faster. Yeah. Crowns for a Christian. There's a prize waiting for us. Here's one, this incorruptible crown. Every man strives for the mastery, is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible crown. Crown given to believers who faithfully run the race, who crucify every selfish desire in the flesh and point men to Jesus. God calls some people to do things that will require some sacrifice in the way they will live and conduct their lives. This thing called Christianity is not for sissies. It's not for the faint of heart. God's looking for a few good men and a few good women. God's looking for an army. We're soldiers. 2 Timothy 2, we're soldiers. And when Paul wrote that, he was thinking of real Roman soldiers. We're soldiers for Christ. Act like one. Bear some of others' burdens. Stand up. Quit you like men, the Bible says. Be a man. Be a woman for Christ. And you're going to suffer. There's going to be things that aren't going to be easy for you to bear. We spent the weekend with our son Ryan and his wife Christina, and they have a child who spent his first 6 weeks of his life in a NICU unit. When I first saw the baby, he had wires in his head, and they had him on a cold slab, Strong Memorial Hospital, and you couldn't touch him, and he was 30 minutes. Without oxygen. And today, a year and a half later, he ain't doing too bad. You know why? Part of it is because Ryan and Christina. Most of it is because the Lord Jesus Christ and all the good friends that we have that have been praying for him. And every little thing he does is wonderful. Watching him grab the food and, you know, being able to eat. He had a tube, a feeding tube. We were glad he was able to breathe on his own. God gave that baby to the right couple. Wouldn't pray for that, but God knew what he was doing. And we had a chance to spend the time with them and watch. Not only watch, we jumped in. You know, Patty and I have had the joy of taking care of those two children. I wouldn't call that, you know, suffering for Jesus. That's just life. They're just some things that we have to do. You and I have to do. And God may call you to really suffer. Both Pastor Rich and maybe some of you, we've been to some places around the world. Been to Africa. We've seen some things. And talk about paying a price. How'd you like to be the pastor or missionary in fields like that. Crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2, to those who faithfully witness the saving grace of God, lead souls to Jesus. We can all get that crown. Crown of righteousness to those who love the appearing. Are you anxious to see the Lord come back, or you've got other things to do? You've got other things on your agenda. Well, we do. I do. We've got some things to do, like keep serving the Lord, keep winning people to Christ, keep declaring God's word. Crown of life for those believers who endure trials and tribulations. Crown is also referred to as the martyr's crown. Crown of glory. This is to the pastor and others who teach God's word, faithfully feed the flock of God. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Lay up treasures, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's basketball right there. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Hey, guys, men, to you, have you put any money in the bank? Have you got any money in the bank? I mean, you know, where you have to draw from that? When you do or say something dumb, your wife, and she can forgive you the first time, second time, third time, you're starting to draw. There's nothing going to be left after a while. So you got to put a lot of money in the bank. Got to store up some treasures in heaven that you draw on. Because you may need those, you may need that. Consider your greatest prize. Here's another. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Listen to this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's a great way to start the day, start life. Enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise. Come to church. Come home from work and enter the house, the home. What is that? That's the greatest. Anybody? The greatest attitude. That's a great attitude. Great attitude. I'll never do this again, by the way, because it's not working very well. So thank you for the help that you've given me. It's all right. Okay. Done. Will that help? This is a great attitude. Found in the book of Philippians, this great attitude. This is the kind of attitude that we need to have. I can do this. I can do this. Not on my own, in Christ. I can do all things in Christ. The hard things. Once you start thinking you can do this, that's when you're get in trouble. Remember who does all things for you. Christ in me, the hope and salvation. You know, I'm involved in the martial arts. And people, you know, they ask you questions about, you know, what you can do. Dan and I talked about working in the juvenile lockup and in where he works, you know, and how do you do it? I mean, you can punch and kick and your hands are registered, aren't they, Mark? No, my hands are not registered. Yeah. You know the power comes from? The power comes from the Holy Spirit of God and Christ in me. That's where the power is. That's where the power comes from. Christ in me. That's why I could have a great attitude. You don't have to be a black belt in the martial arts or anything else. You just have to know Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have power with God. I got a call from my pastor there in South Carolina. He said he had a new fellow join the church. He and his wife, great couple, they just got saved, and they're involved in the martial arts. And they came to me to ask this question about this thing that his instructor is telling them to do. And that is, listen, there's this thing called the ki, the kai, what is it? You know, it's some inner thing you call on. And if you call on the chi or something, call on the chi, and it'll give you extra power and strength. And he's telling me this, and he's asking me, is this good? Is this right? And he says, I don't think so, but I know somebody that could tell you. And he gave him my name. And boy, I schooled him for about 20 minutes. Listen, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You don't need no chai or ki or cake or anything else. There ain't anything that you need. You've got everything that you need to fight the spiritual battles of life. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the new man. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. This is not an actual breastplate. This is God's Word and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, you have all of that sealed unto the day of redemption. Christ in you. That's where the power comes from. And I can do all things through Christ. And believe me, this is, I'm talking to me now. Mark, you can do this thing. You can get through this battle. God can do this for you. We can make this work, Patty. We can do this. Together we can do this. How important is a great attitude for life, for relationships, for ministry, for your work? You name it. The attitude is so important. You ever hear them say that, you know, you've got to know something, you've got to have knowledge in something to be, and you do. You want to be a teacher, you want to do whatever it is that you want to do, you need to have knowledge and wisdom in that particular field. But oftentimes you'll hear someone say, all of that is good, but what is your attitude? That makes all the difference. Makes all the difference, a good attitude. All right. Here's another. This one's going to be easy peasy, you know. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is why I like the book of Philippians. There's so much good stuff in it. There's so much greatest in here. All right. What is this now? The greatest? Mazel tov. I mean, amen. What? Wonderful. I knew you'd get that one. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the peace with God, and you have the peace of God. I made peace with God on May 8th, 1978 with my friend Ray. That day, but you have peace of God. You sure you do. Peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Who is the Prince of Peace? Oh, Lord God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. You don't need to turn there, but I know you know this because you belong to this church. But I want to read this to you. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Is that right? Why? There's a comma there. You know, other Bibles, they take the comma away. Just a comma. Come on, Mark. It's just a comma. Well, here, look at the difference. And this came up because I'm talking about the final phrase there is the Prince of Peace. Is he not a wonderful counselor? Yeah, of course. He is the most wonderful counselor. But he's not only the most wonderful counselor, he's wonderful. And he is the counselor. And that's why we have that comma there. He's not only a wonderful counselor, he's absolutely marvelously, perfectly wonderful. And he is the counselor. You got troubles? Go to the counselor. And on your knees, through his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe he'll give you that answer that you're looking for, that peace. Our nation is in a world of hate. Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I pray there is peace in your heart and soul today, and you know the peace that passes all understanding. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know the Prince of Peace? I have no doubt there's most, if not all of you here, know the Prince of Peace. You have that peace that passes all understanding. That's what the world is looking for today, some peace. There's no peace. You watch what's going on TV. I, for a while, and I still do, I come home, you know, we have dinner, whatever we do, turn on the news. I can't do it anymore. It's the same old, same old. I'm watching Americans cursing one another and assaulting one another and stopping traffic. What is going on? Do you think these people have peace? There's no peace. That's not the way to get it anyway. Do you know the Prince of Peace? I know you do. Greatest. Here's one. Here's another. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now look at this. Listen to this list you're quite familiar with, found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. These are good things to think about. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is it? To me, it's the greatest preparation. The greatest preparation. It's a great way to prepare your life, your day, your ministry, your relationships. You're going to meet people today. How many of you go shopping at the store? How many? Everybody? I love to go, believe it or not. You know, like this guy, I love, you know, you're shaking your head. I love to go shopping. I really do. As long as I go by myself. No offense, Patty. I even like shopping with you, but I'd rather go myself. Why? Because I can, you know what I mean? I can get what I want to get when I want to get it, you know. No, you can't buy that. You know, why not? It costs too much. Okay. How's this? Now, you can't buy that. Why not? Because it's got all kinds of crazy things in it. That's the last time. Next time. You know what I'm talking about. Next time I go by myself. And so.
When you come home, you don't have to write.
Always. So now, with that phone, hi, honey. Do we need this or not? What? I can pick it up, you know. So we get into town and we're going to be over Ryan and Christina's house. I ought to go do some grocery shopping. I ought to get some things for the house. That's what Grandpa ought to do. So I go and do some shoppings, Pastor. Everything I brought home. We got this. We already got that. We don't eat that. We don't. Give me all those things. I'm bringing them back to the store. Oh, great preparation. Yeah. Let's look at, I want to show you something in Romans chapter 8. We're almost finished. Only one more. Take a look at, keep your fingers there and turn to Romans chapter 8. You know, who am I? Romans chapter 8, you know, familiar with these set of verses found in verses 28, starting in 28 and going down to 30. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oftentimes we stop there because it's such a great verse and we always reference that for many reasons. But let's read on. For whom he did foreknow. That's the foreknowledge of God. Okay? He also did predestinate. If it stopped there, we'd have a question to answer. But it says, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there's a progression there. It starts with the foreknowledge of God. And then it goes to predestination. Predestinate. Was I predestinated to get saved? No, I was predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear son once I came to Christ. Listen, if indeed I was predestinated to get saved, then okay, does that mean now everyone that I will speak to, that I want to win, I think I should win to Christ? And I'll look at them and say, are you predestinated to be saved or not? No. The foreknowledge of God is that he knows who's going to come to Christ and who isn't. But he'll never defy your free will. So God wants us to be faithful in telling others about Christ. Think on these things. Think on these things. And once a person comes to Christ, there's a progression there. And predestined to be conformed to his son, called, justified, and glorified. Okay. Greatest preparation. Last one. Here's one. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. And that's the greatest P. Thank you. Very good. It's all right. It was good. You're right. Everybody, we're always afraid to answer. We're afraid to be wrong. So I should have said something before. If you're wrong, I'm going to make you stand up. And, you know, but no. greatest provision. Here's the greatest provision provided for us and reminded of us, to us. And found in the same book, Philippians. Great book that way. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we wonder, we do okay. We're missionaries, Patty and I. We are. But we don't live in a grass hut. We live in South Carolina. Some people call that paradise, you know. But it's, because that's the only paradise many of them will ever know. They'll never know the real paradise there is. We've been to Africa. We've been to Arctic Alaska. We've been to South America. We've been to Europe. We've been all over. We've been to Jordan and Israel and places like that. But still, we're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. We always want more. But God shall supply all your need, not necessarily all that you want, but all that you need. Seek ye first the kingdom. Talk about George, this grace, this may be his favorite verse. I think I heard him say once, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Think about those things. My God shall supply all your need. There's some things that come first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Somebody said something about waiting, I think. John. Thank you, Lord. John said something about waiting. And I thought about Psalm 37. It talks a lot about waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we are caught in between. Are we supposed to press or are we supposed to wait? We're supposed to do both. Sometimes we just got to sit and wait on the Lord for answers. But he'll supply all your need. You get a chance. I don't usually do this, but Sensational Nightingales, they're called. I don't know if you ever heard them. It's an African-American group, four or five men. They sing, every promise in the book is mine. Boy, you can dwell on that one for a long time. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. You know the verse. You know the song. But they do something with that that'll talk about worship, John. Talk about spend good 10 minutes in the song and in that promise. Every promise in the book is mine. Here's one. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Here's the last one, a bonus. Your greatest lesson. Here it is. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. It's the greatest lesson right here. Talk about great provision, a great attitude, great victory, great prize. Here's one for you. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's a tough one. But that's really, if all those promises and all those great things that we read about in the book of Philippians, and you can't identify with this one, we haven't gone very far. Here's the one that really we need to learn and we need to understand and believe. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Are you content today? Do you have that peace that passes all understanding? That's the question. Ask yourself. All right. Time for a testimony. Anybody? Anything? God speak to your heart. Is there anything that you'd like to share with your brothers and sisters in the Lord regarding these things that we spoke of here in the book of Philippians? Anyone? Give you a second or two. Don't be shy. This is glorify the Lord Jesus. Say something that will glorify him, that will lift up the name of Christ. Anybody? Anything? All right. Good. Good. For me, it was being here with you. That was the blessing for me today. Thank you for having me here with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do, though, with your eyes closed and head bowed, I know that I'm guessing that everyone here probably knows the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, but we will not take too much for granted. If there's anyone here that's never, ever received Christ as their personal Savior, perhaps this could be the day. Perhaps you'd like to make that commitment, that decision to receive Christ as your Savior. If there is indeed someone would like to share that with me by an uplifted hand, I'd be good to pray for you. Is anyone like that? Anyone that would ask me to say, Mark, I never did that, but I'm sure that everyone in this room has. And if that's the case, that's wonderful. Praise God. There's something in here today that we spoke of that you don't have, you can't identify with. You don't, you know, the greatest provision. I supplies all my need, great peace. Maybe I've never thought about preparing my heart for the day, as you spoke of, Mark. I'm going to start thinking about praying, about making sure I think on these things. I'm now more conscious of the crowns for a Christian that eventually, if we get any, we're only going to cast at his feet. Praise the Lord. How's my attitude? Is it the greatest attitude? I can do all things through Christ. Thank you for this time, Lord. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to share things from your word, God's what a blessing it's been for me and Patty to be here with our dear friends, Pastor Rich and Cindy, and the others that are here that we've known over the years and made new friends today. God, thank you. God, dismiss us, or before you do, Pastor Rich will come, and he'll close out the service. So God bless, Father, now we pray this last moments of the service, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.
Before you leave, how about we ask Mark some questions about his ministry? Seeing he's a missionary around America, maybe you might have a question about what he does, where they've been, what they've seen, what they've experienced, anything like that. All right, what church is this?
Yes. That's really something. There's only one answer to that, you know. But I'm Patty and I, we traveled this summer, 3 months, June, July, and August. We're pretty much on the road. And we had 3 fights, but none of them caused us to stop the car and get out and settle it. So, I could not do this without Patty. We're a team. We do this together. We work with churches. We come along side churches like yours, and we offer curriculum and a team so we can run sports camps and sports leagues. And we use that, like we did at First Bible, to reach out to the community for Christ. We use sports to reach others for Christ. That's basically what we do. And it's a joy to be able to do that. We have a blessed time. And we'll start one of those trips. You might remember to pray for us. And we train young people, college-age young people, to learn how to serve the Lord. These are young people that are believers, love the Lord, and they want to serve God through sports. They have a love for children, love for God, and some expertise in a particular sport. And we disciple them and train them and send them out. And they go to churches. And we had this past year nearly 9,000 kids that we ministered to in 120 camps across America. And a little over 1,500 first-time decisions to receive Christ by those kids. So, yeah. There's one here. The fellow that I pointed out with the... What's your name? Todd, good to meet you, Todd. Todd, give me a chance to get out the door before you stand up. Todd, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, your hands aren't registered.
Yeah. No. I couldn't hurt anybody anymore. Believe me.
But Patty, that's right.
I'm sure through the years that you've seen different challenges with Christian young people and teaching them through the years. The problem is so much different, say 20, 30 years ago, than it is today. What would you say the biggest challenge is when you're trying to disciple and train them up?
Boy, that's a great question, Todd. I think years ago we worked with kids from a lot of solid families, backgrounds, and a lot of good fundamental Bible-believing, teaching, preaching churches. So when they come to us, they have a real solid foundation. We're not seeing that as much. There are great Christian colleges across America, and there are great Christian kids and good Christian Bible-believing churches, but we're seeing a lot of kids that say they know the Lord, but if you ask them, if you died today, do you know you can go to heaven? You know you'll go to heaven. Well, I think I do. I think I will. Tells you right away there's an issue. This is a good Christian kid who maybe even grew up in a Christian home and went to a church. I mean, I didn't go to church. I have an excuse. But when I got saved, we learned the Bible, Todd. And I think that's one big difference. The media, you've heard it. They spend so much time on their phones, on their devices, and it definitely is different. That has made a big difference. But we still get some good people, some good young people, and that still want to serve the Lord. So for us, Todd, the burden is on us. We have to do more and work harder to teach and train our young people. It was easier years ago. We just got them. We had them for a week and a half. We send them out. Now we've got to stay with them. And Patty and I visited all the camps that we have. Not all 130 of them, or 20 of them, but ours in our district. And we still lost one. I still had to send one home. So.
How many young people do you deal with on a yearly basis?
I'm sorry, Rich. Interns? Yeah, about 70 to 80 young people. And we're training them now this year, Todd. We're working with them a lot closer, starting right now. So that's the challenge that we're going to meet. By the way, it's always incumbent on the teacher or the instructor or the pastor. If you don't learn from the pastor, it's partially your fault, but the pastor's got to say, What do I have to do to make them to be understood? As a parent, what do I have to do to be a good parent so he can become a good child and a good person? So take on that onus of responsibility. Yeah. Okay? Anybody else? Dan, you had a... Okay. Your name?
Kendra.
Kendra. Are you related? He's what?
Dad.
No kidding. Oh, boy. I really got to be careful now. Go ahead.
Kind of a random question. You said you did martial arts. What part belt are you?
It's brown. I happen to be a seventh degree black belt, Taekwondo. It's probably one of the highest degrees. I should tell you, I'll be honest with you, I have an earned fourth degree and an honorary seventh degree. The leaders of my organization, the organization I'm with, Grand Master Instructor Park Bu Huang, raised me up above all the others in our organization because of my service to the organization. And there were sixth and seventh degree, sixth degree black belts. And I went from fourth to seventh so that I had that position of honor. I've been involved in the martial arts for 45 years. And God has used that. I promised him when I came to Christ that I would use it to serve him. And I've had that opportunity to do that for these last 40 years, all over the world. What I used to do is beat up people. And God changed all that when I got saved. Yeah. Anybody else? Come on, this is fun. We should have done this at the beginning, Pastor.
As an icebreaker.
Yeah. We really broke the ice today, I tell you. Anybody else? Any other questions?
One
yes.
Story.
Yes.
Tell about Cindy in Botswana. The trip that we took.
Yes, oh, that was a wonderful trip, most memorable.
And how we put Cindy in charge of the refreshment tent.
Why don't you tell the story?
Well, I'll get started, and Pastor Rich can finish it. We went to Botswana with what we like to call the A team. Shears, George Grace, Bobby Bonner, and my son and the Grace's son, Bob Patterson, Donna Catrone, Carol Roger, just a wonderful team. What a group we had. And we went to Botswana. We went to the capital city of Gaborone, and we had a chance to minister there through soccer. And it was an incredible time. And we set up tents. We set up a command post, we called it. Right. And then we had to provide drinks for all of these kids that came. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, some would come to the tent for a second drink. Was that what? Okay, I'm starting to remember now. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead.
Wife came to see what we were doing, and there was this British missionary wife and her husband there. They were the ones that brought him, and she said to me, "The chief would like some juice." So Bobby Bonner, he just gotten a blue Gatorade out of there, and he didn't open it yet. I'm like, I need your blue Gatorade. Because I had to give this to the chief.
Juice.
So that was the closest thing I had to give to him. And she went to let me know that the chief really enjoys the juice. Can I have some more? Anyway, that was just fun.
Oh, okay. God did some incredible things while we were there. Not only did the chief show up, but we had the only female FIFA referee in all of Southern Africa. Showed up, the only pro soccer player in all of Botswana who played in the the Dutch League. He came, and was it just incredible what God did? And
the sports announcement.
We were starting.